This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Morning, everyone. How are you? Are you fine? You are brave people to come and sit in church on an East Wind day. You are the remnant, the ones that are left over. No, it's not that bad. I've been here before where it's a real East Wind, and then it's quite tough on me and the people, especially the second service when it gets hot. You can see some people dozing off. But you're not going to be like that, right? No, you're going to be fine. We're busy with a series, and I'm going to be quite short. I feel I should be. On worship, is that right? Two weeks before, we had each a topic on worship. Today, we have another one. I need to talk to you about the avenues into worship. Let me read this to you quickly. I had tremendous trouble with my slides in the Afrikaans service. I hope, Aaron John and I sorted it out, but I hope you can see all of it. I don't have this up there, but this is just like a summary from William Temple on what worship is. So just listen to this. It's a very nice summary. To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God. Amen. So it talks about quickening our conscience to God's holiness, our mind to the truth of God, our imagination to the beauty of God. So many times we can be so preoccupied with things that are in life. That keeps us busy, that keeps us occupied. Sometimes God, no, not sometimes. He just wants to purify that and show us his beauty, to open our heart to the love of God and to devote our will to the purpose of God. Amen. So today I'm just going to quickly look at, and I want to use an example. I read this book for the life of me. I can't remember the book's name. But I know it speaks about the spiritual disciplines in life, and some of the disciplines that he talks about is prayer, etc., reading the word, and worship is another discipline. But he uses a very nice example in the beginning of the book to explain how we can, as Christians, respond to walking, let's say, walking a life in the Spirit with God. He uses an example of saying it's like you're walking on a narrow ledge. I don't know if he used the word narrow, but it's a pathway, and there's a cliff to the left and to the right. The cliff to the left is where you as a person can fall into a religious walk with God where you do everything. You've learned what to do. You've learned, for instance, let's use worship. You've learned that worship must be singing with hands and clapping and bowing, etc., or reading the word, or praying. You've learned to do that. You've learned that it is necessary, but you do it religiously. You do it without life. So he says that's not exactly the purpose that God wants for us. But the other side also of not trying at all, not doing anything, not trying to get in God's presence, not reading the word, saying it's all by grace, it's God is just going to do it, it's nothing about me, that's towards the right. And none of them are correct. The correct one is in the middle, and that is to stay, not being too legalistic and not being too blasé about certain things. But and that's what this book is about, spiritual disciplines, and how don't fall there or don't fall there, but these things will bless you if you walk in them. So when I talk to you today, and I'm saying that specifically because I'm going to look at the avenues into worship. What can you and I physically do? Change our lifestyle a little bit so that we position ourselves better to receive, not to receive, to worship God in spirit and in truth. So my sermon could be like follow 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, but that would be, remember what I said, that would be too much to the left. But you can't do nothing, okay? So you must find the balance in your life. So that was an introduction. Don't fall into legalistically following God, but don't do nothing at all. The first scripture I want to read there is John 4, verse 23. Let's just look at this scripture, I guess, summarizes or it at least highlights three things for me when it comes to worship. It says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers, maybe there's four things, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Okay. It says there's true worshipers. So that would mean that there's some worship that's not true. Don't be afraid. I'm not saying your worship is not true, but we need to evaluate our lives constantly, spiritually. But you can and should ask yourselves every now and then, God, am I a true worshiper? And that's what we're trying to figure out with this series, is God, help us to grow in this. Help us to get better in this, because we want to be true worshipers. We don't want to waste our time. We actually want to come into the presence of God. And the answer is, it's almost there. It says, in spirit, those who worship in spirit and truth. So I'll just use an example. It's not an example, it's the truth. But it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual connection with God. And I use the example, you know, we get saved and then we give our lives to God. And in Christian terms, they say you become born again. What becomes born again? It's not my flesh. This thing stays the same and gets older. But what gets born again is our spirit. So what I want to say to all of us here, and I believe most people, maybe everybody here is a Christian, but the starting point is to be born again, because God says you must worship Him in spirit. So I can't do it with my old theo spirit. I need to get a new spirit that is reborn. And that's how it starts. But then we can continue in that in life. We can continue, and we can sometimes fall back into not worshiping in the spirit. Okay, but that's, I believe, what God is trying to tell us here. And in truth. But the last part is actually where I want to focus a bit more. For it says, the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Now, if you read this book, I talk to Heidi about it all the time. It's really refreshing. And what the author writes here about this piece of scripture, he says, God is actually looking for you to worship Him. How can I explain it? It's like a father and a son or a child, and you want to spend time with him or her. It's not as if you require something from the child to put you on a pedestal or whatever. It's the father that wants to have time with his son. And that is what the scriptures is talking about. It says God is looking for us to worship Him in spirit and truth. He's almost like, come on, I want you to get it because it excites my heart. I don't know if you'll remember Michael Howard, when he was here, he spoke about how we as Christians can minister unto the Lord. We always think it's not powerful, but God wants us to be in communion with Him. And what I love about the scripture, and as one grows as a Christian, it's like you just realize the same thing over and over, but God is the one first knocking on the door. He comes to us at our worst place and time, and He says, I'm looking for you. I want to, you know, if you can use the child father thing, let's play together. Let's do something. So if you're here as a Christian this morning and you're thinking, oh, I don't know, my life is not so in order and I'm not so close to God, you switching this equation the opposite direction. He is looking for you. We sometimes make ourselves so holy and, oh, we're perfect and we're searching and looking after God. And Paul writes it in his throughout Scripture. He says, as he grows as a Christian, towards the end, he says, I'm the biggest sinner. He becomes more aware of his shortcomings and he becomes more aware of God's goodness, that actually he's looking for him. Are you with me? God is looking for you. Scripture says, In the Garden of Eden, God was walking in the garden looking for Adam and Eve, looking for you. I want to tell you, and I'll give you another example too. We watched a video clip long ago. It's about reaching out to people. And the example, they actually had a video clip of while they were doing it. So it was Christians going out. Now, I can't remember. It was a gathering of all kinds of weird New Age religions, and I can't remember, there was even some occultic things. So this is a gathering, it's like, you know, like a church bazaar, but just the opposite, of a gathering of people that are completely far away from God. They're going the opposite direction, and they are going into there and ministering the love of God there. And I use this example of them praying for this one man. I don't know in what religion or whatever he believed, but he looked like a New Ager, long hair, like a hippie stuck in the 1970s. And you can imagine what this guy does. He's so far from God. And they say, can we pray for you? And this is what happens. And this illustrates how God is looking for people. Not us looking for him. He's looking for us. He's the good guy. We're the ones that just respond to his goodness. So they pray for this man. And he believes in all kinds of weird stuff. And at the end, they wanted to explain to him, we want to explain to you who Jesus is and what Jesus is. He says, don't worry. Jesus appeared to me. And right there, while they were praying for him, in his broken state, Jesus appears to him and he talks to him and he says, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. I don't know what he said, but he gets saved like that. Because Jesus looked for him. Jesus looked for him in his sin and in that nonsense. And we think we're good. We're not good. We're not good. Worship is a reaction to seeing the goodness of God. That's my next scripture. What is it? Yeah, what's my next scripture? Oh, yeah. Worship, and I start off by that. Worship is a reaction to seeing who God is. All I want you to know, to walk away with, and I'll say a lot of the things in between, but I'm going to end with this again, is what are you seeing? What are you seeing? The scriptures there. And he said, woe is me, for I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Worship is a response to us seeing who God is. It's an automatic response. My question to you this morning, what do you see? How do you see God? Who is he to you? We can have fake, but I'm not saying we're experiencing fake at the moment, but we can have fake experiences with God. We can do all the right things, but it is primarily, it's kick-started with you seeing who Jesus is in your life. Amen. Okay, let's look at some practical things, how to get into worship. First thing there is we must cultivate a life of being actively, can you read it there? There's another word. Being actively still. That's what it should be. Being actively still in the Lord. What does that mean? We walk around quiet all the time? That would help. It does actually help. But I use this example again. You know, the children growing up nowadays are called millennials. Is that right? Any millennials here? What is a millennial? I think a millennial is somebody that's born after 2000, and that's what I. But when I, you can Google it. I didn't Google it, but get the definition. But it's people, I guess, that grow up nowadays, and we're constantly connected to social media and phones and internet and everything, and it's all nothing. God can use all those things. I also have a phone. I need to watch the time that I spend on that phone, definitely. But it's busy. Life is so busy, and TV, and cell phones. I mean, we all lived without having Facebook on our phones. We were fine, you know, before that. Now we're like, oh, don't take it away. We'll die. Manfred, maybe you're still, you're not so on the Facebook stuff. Glad. Teach us. Tell us how to get rid of it. Oh, is he? Oh, no. Manfred, yeah, man. But our lives are bombarded with busyness. And I every now and then talk about the youth ministry. And, you know, I think one of the challenges to minister to the youth, sometimes we just want to keep them busy. And I would say the challenge is to get that busyness out of their schedule and get them quiet and still before God and in life. Now, an avenue into worship is being actively still. What am I saying with all of this? It is just a conscious decision that you take and you walk and you address things in life. You go to work and you say, thank you, God. Thank you for this. Thank you for being here. You don't have don't walk like that and talk like that around everybody in your office. But it is just an active saying, I'm seeking God's presence in everything that I do. I'm going to be quiet. When you have quiet times, you get quiet a little bit. You ask God. It's an active thing. So it's not but like doing nothing. It's active being still and saying, God, just permeate my life. Not just Sundays and small group, permeate my life. I mean, do I have scriptures up there for it? Yes, I do. What are they? Romans 8:4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'll speak about that one just now. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now that first scripture, for us to walk in the flesh, will require for us to have have a bit of a silent approach to life so that we can just quiet all these other noises and hear what he's saying. Are you with me? Let me read you something here from the book. This is talking about being actively silent. So just something else. You know, in Eastern meditations, Eastern religions, meditation is something where you try and empty your mind. That's the all the yoga things is I want to get empty without anything. Godly meditation is quiet those other voices, but in with God's knowledge, in with his word. It's not a, I want to empty myself thing. So are you seeing what I'm saying? It's an active stillness. We're saying, fill me with God, fill me with God, fill me with your word, fill me with your worship, your presence. Okay, so this is a, this is about some believer. I dedicate one whole year to learning how to live with a perpetual openness to Jesus as my present teacher. I determined to learn his vocabulary. It's easy addressing me through those singing birds or that sad face. I sought to allow him to move through every action, my fingers while writing, my voice while speaking. My desire was to punctuate each minute with an inward whisperings of adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. Often I failed for hours, even days at a time. But each time I came back and tried again. That year did many things for me, but it especially heightened my sense of expectancy in public worship. After all, he had graciously spoken to me in dozens of little ways throughout the week. He will certainly speak to me here as well, in church. That's what he means. In addition, I found it increasingly easier to distinguish his voice from the blare of everyday life. That's a challenge for us. But it is to just go into life, walking in the Spirit, and saying, God, where are you? Are you here at work? So many of us go to work and we think God is never there. I want to tell you, if you engage him, God will show you. God will show up through other people, through other things, and you will start seeing him there. Amen? But let's do it actively. The next one is, how do we get into worship? We looked at being still before God. And it's not a inactive still, it's an active being still. The next one is, we talked about silence, now we also need to talk about praise. You know, it's easier to explain in English the words between praise and worship. Afrikaans is, I think it's lof and unbidden, but in English it's easier to understand. But so one of the avenues into worship in spirit and in truth is praise. That's why you would see that normally in worship, we always have a few praise songs. Praise songs are those bit lively ones and the lots of drums and the stuff. that is into worship. But we can have a lifestyle like that, where we praise God. You know, Scripture says, come into my presence with thanksgiving. We have to learn actively to say, God, even though, and many people are in that state nowadays, with, there's lots of problems, but to say, I'm going to put the problems for which I have to pray and want to pray for just aside, but come into his presence with thanksgiving and praising him. Amen, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruits of lips that acknowledge his name. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise brings us into the act of worship. It's almost like the first step of getting us into that intimate worship with God. So for some of us, it might just mean you must ask God, what is it that I should thank you for? I can't believe we sometimes have to ask those things, but we have to. We just have to learn that, God, I want to adore you. I want to praise you. It's a lifestyle. Are you with me? Second last one. We're not going to be busy for too long today. Is maybe a bit of a contentious one. Let's read the scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. This scripture, I believe it's Paul, speaking of praying and singing in the Holy Spirit. Remember in the beginning we said we must true worshipers in spirit and in truth. What better way? I'm not saying it's the only way. I'm just saying it's something we must practice than to worship God in the spirit. In what does it mean? Like he says there, singing in the spirit. It might be a bit strange for some of you this morning, but we believe that God, every Christian, can be filled with the Holy Spirit and has the ability to speak in tongues or to speak in another language. God wants us all to speak in that, to have that ability, and it is available for everybody. If you have questions about it, come to Encounter One. We explain it to you properly. But what I want to emphasize here is that we should also practice singing in the Spirit. Praising God in the Spirit. And if you're shy to do it here, I'm also a bit shy to do it here, that's fine. But practice at home. If you cannot pray in the Spirit yet, come to us to pray for you so that Jesus, not me, can baptize you in the Holy Spirit. But to exercise that is to praise God in the Spirit, because then, you know, you bypass your flesh immediately. And that's not that we shouldn't ever worship God in English or Afrikaans. We need to do that constantly. But there's also a place, an avenue into worship, where maybe our flesh, we're under stress, or we don't see things the way they should be. We don't see God. And we can pray and sing in the Spirit. And because then we bypass the flesh. And then we are in the Spirit. Are you with me? It's not a rebuke in any way. I want to challenge you. Ask God to do that in your life. It's another avenue where you can experience God's goodness. Amen? And the last one, and then right at the end, we're just going to look at some examples, is, can we have that last slide up? We have to do it actively, because the word worship, you know what it means? The next slide they will show you. The word worship simply means to bow down, to be bowed, or to be prostrate before God. Lay flat on your tummy. The definition of worship is, in Scripture, it always had something to do with your physical body responding to what God is doing in your life. So what am I saying with that is, we actually have to practice it a little bit. And it shouldn't be fake, I understand that. But it's almost like warm-up session, you know. I always say, I started surfing when I was about 20. I'd never had to warm up. Now I'm a bit older. I won't tell you how old I am. But now I need to warm up. So to worship God, to just do it physically. If you're not, don't feel like it, raise your hands. You can do it at home. Bow down. But just, it's your body getting in line with what the word says it is, lifting hands or clapping hands, because worship was a physical thing. The definition of worship is a physical thing. So some people would say, and I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people would say, I'm not the jumping kind of person. That's fine. You don't have to jump. But I do know that a lot of people, this is a joke, if I see them watching a certain sport activity and their team loses or wins, then we worship. Then we can jump, you know. Then we can clap and then we can scream. But sometimes it comes to church, no, I'm not that type of person. I'm telling you, I'm going to watch you watch soccer or rugby. And I'll tell you, if you don't jump like that, my point is, yes, we can be reserved. Some people are different. But God would want you to respond physically. And it's an avenue for you to get into His presence by lifting your hands, by dancing. You know, let me tell you a joke. It was a while ago, not so long ago. Some of you were there, I remember. But we had an evening service, worship service, and then they said, we're going to dance before the Lord, something like that. And then my child, I think it was just Ember still, the older one. So then she started dancing here. Yeah, and everybody looked at her a bit like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, she's doing what you told her to do. But dance before the Lord. If you don't want to do it here, practice there at home. Close the closet. Can't dance in the closet. Close the door. And just do it actively. Amen? All right. So the avenues into worship is we get still before God. We praise God. We adore Him. We pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. Learn that habit on, I almost want to say. And it's a physical thing. Just some practical things when it comes to worship. The second last slide there. Practice the presence of God. I've spoken a lot about it. Pray constantly. We don't have to just pray in the mornings when we have quiet time. You can pray at work. You can adore God everyday life when you walk through. Just try it. Practice it. Saying when you walk and you go to work, Father, thank you for this. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be amazed at how many areas of life God pitches up where you thought He's never at. I use the example, I'll use it again. The other day we were writing an email, and a few people are copied on the email, and so the one lady says, yeah, we might get work in Rwanda. So she says, I want to move there. I want to just go. So I'm joking, and at one stage I ask her, why do you want to move? And so there's a couple of people copied in, and then she responds to me, personally, a while later, and she explains the whole life crisis to me. Then I used the opportunity. I replied, and I quoted scripture. Then she replied again. But immediately, there was an opportunity for me to minister to this person with a few scriptures copied. But we miss some of these opportunities because we don't feel that God is there in our lives. He's there. Are you with me? Practice the presence of God. That's what I'm trying to say. He's there. You know, some of you are, I don't want to say it now, but there's some, yeah, it's all right. I won't say it. But some of us, like doctors, you work with people constantly, a dentist. I guess if you're a dentist, you have somebody in a difficult position, you know. You can preach to him, he can't move. No, don't do that. But some of you work with lots of people, more than I do. And you don't have to preach it everywhere, but just be open, saying, God, when? When must I share? When is there an open door? Amen? I have many different experiences of worship. I think this is important, although it seems so practical. But we need to learn to worship alone. We need to learn to worship in smaller groups, in bigger groups. What I think that means is, let's not limit worship to experiences like this on a Sunday morning. It can be everywhere and should be a lifestyle. Trust God for it. Start doing it in small groups. Start doing it in your house, in your home. Prepare for gathered. That's wrong. For the gatherings. Prepare for when we come together. That's what I'm trying to say there. Prepare for church. How? Wake up 3 hours earlier? No, not necessarily. But just get yourself in a state of mind that I'm going to experience God. I'm expecting God to be in church. You know what? It sometimes takes us 3 or 4 songs, and we only do 4, to get life and its busyness out of our head. If we can come prepared, you'll be ready the first song. That's tricky. It's tricky. It's not always so easy. But it can just be a state of mind. I'm prepared when I come into the presence of God. Are you with me? The fourth one there, I'll just say, let go of your agenda when you come to church, when you come to small group, when you come into the presence of God. We spoke about it. Just get your list out of your brain. We all have a list, and we must pray for the list. But just sometimes let your list hang there a little bit and just say, God, what are you saying? What do you want to see? Say to me? God, I want to see you. We need to do that actively because we all have pressures in life. So we all have a list that we want to address immediately. Let's change that. Okay, I'll skip to the sixth one, second last one, which I think is very important. Absorb distractions with gratitude. What do I mean? Is I'll use examples. Very often, it seems like more often than not, when I have a very good quiet time with God or whatever it is, a very amazing time in worship with God, it's like, wow, I'm almost guaranteed. I want to say it's 100%, but during that day somewhere, Murphy would strike. You know what Murphy means? It's like, you know, something odd would just happen. You'd get a flat tire. I tell you the one very odd thing that happened. No. We drove to Cape Town. I like telling these little life stories. We had a roof rack with 2 surfboards on top. So we're driving to Cape Town. Now, I can barely just see the surfboards here through the windscreen. And we're driving. It's 1,800 kilometers this far. So we're driving, and every time a truck comes, it goes, you know, with the little car we had then. And there, other side of Marintal, we look up, and the surfboards are gone. You know what? It's not only the surfboards. The roof rack was also gone. Now, that's a distraction, I tell you. To get into the presence of God was not easy that day at all. But my point is, we go through stuff like that. You have children, you have work. The distractions follow you, man. Learn to absorb those things with gratitude. We don't have to be happy when a taxi cuts us short or something like that. But we can just maintain our peace. We almost have to expect it and say, God, thank you. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to hoot. I'm not going to do. I think for me, that is great advice. And we need to learn because we can so easily step into the flesh in that moment and do something. And it's not like you're going to sin massively, but it just removes the presence from God or that intimacy from God that you have from God immediately. And it only comes back if you go back on your knees and you pray again. We need to expect these things and say, God, it's not going to influence me. It's not going to. Amen? Yeah. And the last one, learn to offer sacrifice of worship. The scripture says that, yeah, we did read some of them, but that we offer sacrifices of praise. What does that mean? We need to learn to sometimes worship God when we don't feel like it. I'm not saying if your life is like that, just never feeling like it, there is a problem that I agree with. We need to ask God to bring the life back into your relationship with Him. But there's going to be many times when you don't feel like it. Cultivate a discipline where you just say, Father, thank you. I don't feel like it now, but I'm going to worship you and praise you. And I believe the more that you do that, you're going to be able to get into the presence of God quicker. Amen? Amen. I'll close off, and I'm closing off with the first scripture that I quoted. Is it up there? Next slide. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us stand. Let's stand. I started off by saying, when I gave you that example of that man, worship is primarily a response to what you see, to what you see in God, the beauty that your eyes behold. If we don't see that our worship, if it's not a reaction to God's beauty, to God's majesty, then it's going to be fake and it's going to be powerless. And we can trust God this morning that if you are here, and I feel that there's some Christians here, that you feel that your worship life, your worship experience is dry. I used the example in the first service. It's almost like you've got a swakopmund mist in front of you. You're not seeing perfectly. And I just want to trust God today that when we pray for you, that God will just remove that mist, almost like what happens when we have east wind. Eh? Isn't it amazing? But that mist moves and we see clearly who God is. Because then you will respond in worship. Then it is not you telling you what to do. It's your response to his beauty. So let us close our eyes. I just want to pray for us. And
thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.